Welcome, everybody, to the Tomcast. I'm your host, Chris Knowles, and we're here with our very special guest, Todd Anderson.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me on your show. Hey,
thanks for coming. I hear you're a hard guy to get hold of. So
I'm very hard to book. I don't do these very much. These podcasts, they're below me.
Well, thank you for that compliment. But we're glad that you're here anyway and lowering your standards to our level.
Sometimes you gotta dance with the devil if you want to put a little food on the table.
That's right. Well, you know, and we hope your fortunes will improve soon.
Me too.
So that you can associate with better...
With a better class. Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
I believe it... I can't remember what the character's name was, but there was a character in the movie Roxanne, the Steve Martin movie, and he's at a party for the town, and they're celebrating, like, saving a barn from burning down, saving a cow.
Right.
And he says, he raises his glass, he's like the mayor of the town, and he says, "I would rather be with the people of this town than with the finest people in the world."
Well, great. We're very happy for that. So, I think we're here to talk about the news of the day, whatever that news should be.
I have successfully avoided the news today.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, because every time I do, I find I have to give myself days off.
Ah.
And I realize that's white privilege. I apologize for it. I'm working on that element. But sometimes it drives me nuts. My blood boils and I have to stop. Sometimes I'm in the mood to be amused by a James Woods tweet about how we need to go to civil war because of white supremacy being the right thing to do.
But is it really white privilege being able to ignore the media? Because I think a whole lot of people just ignore the media anyway. Isn't that how we ended up with our current president? Information voters?
Yeah, or misinformation voters.
There you go. More accurate, I think
it's a lot of... The divide in the country is intense, I would say. And I think that I'm no fan of the 24-hour news cycle. I think CNN is garbage. Mm-hmm. I think MSNBC is garbage. I think they're all garbage. For me, when I watch the news or listen to the news, I get like a half hour of it from the BBC or somewhere overseas. And I get all the information I need in a half hour to be angry and depressed about.
Right.
And I don't need to see a panel of people I don't know telling me what my opinion should be after the news breaks, which is what CNN and MSNBC and Fox and all of them are. They're mostly not news. They should be called 24-hour editorial channels because that's what they do. They editorialize. They give their opinion. It's not really an objective news source.
So when you take these breaks from the news, that you stop watching your half an hour of BBC news.
Mm-hmm.
And so does this help?
I really do think it lowers my blood pressure to take a break. And it's because I have my phone and I'm driving around and I have to check my phone for this, that, and the other. It's unavoidable that I'll see things. But when I sit down with it, you know, even now when I sit down and read the paper, I wind up getting aggravated.
Well, that's very easy these days.
Yeah.
So how's the re-entry? I mean, first of all, how long do these sort of breaks from the news last?
At absolute most, a day.
And is that sort of pre-planned, or is that just...
No, it's laugh? I can't. Okay. I can't. That's what it is. I wake up, and I didn't sleep well. Mm-hmm. And I look at the phone and I go, "No, I can't do it.
So what you're saying is you're an addict.
Of sorts. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So you can't go more than a day without checking with the news.
Well, I feel like it. Maybe it's an addiction, but I justify it in my head as it's my duty as a citizen to be informed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm apparently one of a minority who knows that it is your civic duty to vote.
That's true.
And apparently I'm one of the only people who knows that.
But, you know, voting only comes around once, maybe twice a year.
Well, not if you live in L.A. County, which I no longer do. But if you live in L.A. County, there's elections every 3 months for one thing or the other.
That's true with all the school boards.
And nobody goes to them. And right. And they just, the cops tricked everybody. And now they have they sold it as a citizens, a board of citizens to determine whether or not what they did in the field with a shooting
the police review board.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a citizens
review board, something right. like that.
With it, all it is there can't be any current cops on it.
Right.
They can't currently be cops. So in other cities where this same thing has happened, the boards are all made up of retired cops and cop friendly people.
Well, that's fair.
Not citizens, not really just right. simple citizens. Right. So,
not the people who are getting shot at by
right,
the cops.
Right. And all those people who get shot at by the cops, and all those people who don't get shot at by the cops, but say it's awful, you know, mm-hmm. those liberals of convenience who say these things and agree, they didn't vote either. So now the cops are going to get away with murder, literally, because nobody voted.
Well, what's the solution to that? I mean, is this sort of constantly being informed as to the news, does that help?
Well, if everybody was informed, it might, you know, education, mm-hmm. that whole thing. I think it would. I mean, you know, back when free education was something important to this country, and in a lot of ways is what propelled this country and made it so powerful, but now nobody wants to pay for it. You know, so they cut property taxes and they cut this, and, you know, that's what happened to California.
Yeah, absolutely.
We had the best schools in the country, and everybody was like, well, I don't know why I have to pay so much for these schools. And I don't want these property taxes. They cut them. Now we are like, what, 46th in the country or something like that? We're like low. Yeah. We're low. We have terrible schools here. And I think that if we hadn't done that, then yes, we would be better off and the country at large.
So I want to get back to this addiction of yours to the news. I mean, you know, you can say that it's being a good citizen, but, you know, addicts have a lot of sort of excuses for their...
That's a really good point.
For their addictions.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
I mean, have you tried to go longer than a day?
Yeah, if I'm on a vacation. I'll stay away from.
Does that so it works when you're on vacation?
Yeah, it does. I mean, the information can trickle in from all sorts of places. If you're on vacation and you're at a bar and you're talking to somebody that you just met, sometimes you'll get the news that way, which is unfortunate. But I don't check it, and I don't have any problem with that because I'm on vacation.
Okay, so that works. Well, and I'm really asking because I need help with my own personal addiction here too. So to the news. I mean, I'm the same way because it's one of those things where I don't want to know, but I do want to know.
Right, you don't want to know, but you feel like you have to know.
Right,
which describes an addiction. That's for sure. I don't want to get high. But I have to.
That's right. I need to. Because I honestly think that's one of the problems that we have in today's society is this sort of constant availability to information. You can look on Facebook and Twitter and all these different news sites. And so I think citizens who end up not voting are we're kind of lulled into believing that we are being good citizens, that we are participating, when in fact we're not really participating. We're just passively being informed, because you can, you know, you can have news and every up-to-date rumor piece of news 24/7, but you know, unless you actually do something, you know, are you really actually going out and organizing? Are you going out to vote? Are you donating to candidates? So I think that that's one of the reasons why we're in the state we are now, is that people mistake sort of information for action.
Oh, right. They mistake being informed and having an opinion for actually making it, yeah.
They feel like they're doing something because they are keeping informed.
Right.
But then election day comes and they were too busy being informed to actually go out and vote.
Yeah. Yeah. That See, that's the thing. I mean, I do feel like there's a... I've made my phone calls, you know, to representatives and all that stuff. Although in this state, it hardly matters. It's not like I'm calling them up and encouraging them to do something that they're not already going to do.
Right.
For the most part.
So, you just moved, and do you have a good good representatives where you are now?
I don't even know.
You don't even know.
No, I haven't informed myself of that. Uh-huh. I'm still settling in. I'm talking on a state level.
Okay.
At this point. Yeah, I don't know who anybody is in Ventura County anymore. It's confusing. But I wash my hands of those Los Angeles County problems. They're no longer mine. Well, the first thing I found out when I moved here, I mean, I'm already going, Jesus, now I have something I have to do. Because Ventura County is fucking uptight about medical marijuana.
Are they?
There are no dispensaries.
What?
In Ventura County. They don't allow them.
The whole county.
The whole county. They don't allow them. You can get it delivered to your door from a delivery service, but they won't have the brick and mortar stores. It's weird.
That is weird.
But they are dragging their heels on the whole legalization thing over here. It's a little...
Well, this is the land of Ronald Reagan.
It is. His library is right down the street.
Oh, yeah? You have you hung out there?
Yeah, I like to spend my Saturdays there. I just chill on the old Air Force One they have there.
Wait, there's an Air Force One there at the library?
Yeah, Reagan's Air Force One plane, the one that he was on, is there.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It's actually the coolest part. It's a really boring library. It's a boring museum. Why do they call it a library? There aren't a bunch of books. It's a museum.
Right.
So it's pretty boring. They take you on it's a very slanted take on the Reagan administration. Mm-hmm. You know, a big part of it is, you know, the attempted assassination, and how heroic he was getting through that. And then, you know, they have an Oval Office, like how he set up the Oval Office, you know, and the tour guides are all very reverent of Reagan. And it's hard as a bleeding heart lefty to not like snicker,
right?
You know, but you're surrounded by people who are there who love the guy, and you know, I wouldn't want, if I was at a Steve Martin museum, I wouldn't want. Well, no, that's a bad example because he's funny, and you might snicker because of that. But you know what I mean? Like, if you're reverent to something, I mean, I'm an irreverent person, so I don't actually understand reverence just in general. But it's rude to snicker, you know, in that kind of situation.
Right.
But it was hard not to, and it's a really boring tour through Reagan's presidency. But then you get to go to Air Force One, and that's pretty sweet.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's the best part of the place. And they have like special exhibits, and they had one about like spying, and that was actually pretty cool.
But mostly it's sort of like the comic book version of Ronald Reagan.
Yeah,
as if he was the hero.
Right. There's a lot that's omitted. Right. His turning a blind eye to the AIDS crisis, you know, his economics, all the shitty stuff he did, it's not in the library.
Sure.
It's not in the library.
Right.
But I, you know,
which you're right, which is sort of goes against the whole concept of a library, because a library is a collection of knowledge and it should be unbiased, and so it's more what would be the right term?
It should be more objective,
right?
And in order to be objective, you have to present to your audience all the facts. Mm-hmm.
They should just not pretend to be objective. They should call it, you know, the Ronald Reagan, I don't know,
circle jerk. Right.
I don't think Nancy would have approved of that, but
no, she probably wouldn't. But she didn't help either in any.
Well, no. But yeah,
she's one of the worst first ladies ever. Well, that alone was a horrible misstep.
Absolutely.
And created more addicts than it... I mean, don't do... Shut up. Just say no.
You were on drugs when you went to the Reagan Library, because that could be a little protest.
I should have been. Yeah. I should have been. If I go again, which I won't, let's be honest. But if I do, I'm gonna drop some acid or something.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I've never done that before, but I would do it. Just to say I dropped acid and I went to the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library.
Well, you have to not just drop acid, but you keep telling everyone there that, like, I said yes to drugs.
And I'm high right now. They do serve booze there.
Do they?
Yeah, they have like little, you know, shitty overpriced museum cafe type situations. There's like one right under the airplane. You can have a beer and look up at the airplane.
Is it like Reagan branded bottles of wine or something?
No, it's just like...
That seems like a missed opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know if they have a line of Reagan beer or anything.
Reagan beer.
I think they would.
Yeah, I mean, he seems like a beer kind of a guy.
He was, at least that's what he wanted people to think.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, he was quite good at that.
He was an actor, for God's sake.
Yeah, I think I prefer the actor to the reality show host at this point.
I know, but, you know, Reagan was a step in the evolutionary process of modern republicanism and the modern Republican Party, which has necessarily evolved in Trump. We've seen it. I mean, got to George W. Bush, we were all laughing at what a buffoon that guy was. But at least he wasn't, you know, trying to start nuclear war with people crazier than him.
Right.
But he did start a war that was, what? And we were all like, what? And Trump is just the next obvious step for that political party.
So what do you think the next step is? Is it Kid Rock?
No, I think it's The Rock.
Ooh, The Rock. Is The Rock a Republican? I don't think
The Rock is not a Republican anymore. He used to be a vocal supporter of the Republican Party, but he's very centrist. And he lives in Hollywood. And in my experience, a centrist on either side, if they wind up surrounded by more of the other, can easily be kicked over on to the left centrist side if they're right, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And I think that's sort of, but you know, I think because Dwayne The Rock Johnson is an intelligent person, that he saw what the Republican Party was doing, so he is registered as independent. And that's how he would run. Mm-hmm. Which they made a joke on Saturday Night Live, but he really has gotten the electoral board or something. Like, you have to get approved to have an official campaign
for president. So you think The Rock is going to run for president?
I think he may run for president in 2020, and he'll get all the votes from the right at that point, except for the, like, hardcore white supremacists, but they're really not the majority.
So you think Rock versus Trump, it's no contest?
I think it's no contest. Huh. Yeah. Yeah.
So but what would the Rock run as a Republican, or would he run?
No, I think he'll run as an independent because he'll get tons of money from people to run. Because people love The Rock, and you know, even people on the right don't want Trump in there anymore. So, and he has the... Who doesn't like The Rock? You know what I mean?
He seems like a personable guy. I've
never met him either, but he seems like a good guy, and he's got a really good work ethic. He doesn't like Vin Diesel, because Vin Diesel does not have a good work ethic.
Oh, I had not heard of that. There was a dispute, but...
Well, he got mad at everybody on the last one or the one before, because he's like, what is happening? Why aren't we doing anything? You know, because they had stopped production because of blah, 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 Vin Diesel had some kind of thing. And Vin Diesel was the main reason it had slowed down. So he pointed his aggravation at Vin Diesel because he was there to work.
Right. But not everyone was up to the Rock level, Rock standard.
No, he was disappointed in the work ethic.
Well, he does have like TV shows and he's got all...
He never stops working.
Yeah.
I mean, he works too much, I think. I mean, it's too much to have a TV series, movies constantly coming out, and he's on a reality show or something, or like some kind of show where he's the host.
Okay.
You know, I mean, he probably doesn't have to put a lot of time into that one,
right.
But it's still too much. I mean, it's too much, you know, but he's obviously charismatic because people haven't gotten sick of him. Because usually if you're that overexposed, people are like, Jesus Christ with
this
guy.
That's true. That's true.
But people are like, no, this is good. More Rock in more places.
But didn't people say the same thing about Arnold Schwarzenegger? Charismatic guy, hard worker, very ambitious.
That's true. That's true. But he has that weird accent.
Wait, the accent is the difference here?
I think the accent and not being like from the States itself, and it like...
Well, that would prevent him from running for president. But as far as I guess success in elected office generally, you know, we have Reagan, we have Arnold, you know, not the greatest track record.
No, that's a really good point. I mean, and I'm not saying I think The Rock would be a good president. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
But it's sort of like, because of his work ethic and probably an addiction to working, a workaholism thing, he's done everything. He's conquered Hollywood.
Right.
So what's the next logical step? Conquer the country. Conquer the world. Be the president of the United States. So
he's going to make us all do push-ups in the morning, isn't he?
He's going to bring back that... Yeah, that's what he was doing with the Republican Party, was what Schwarzenegger used to do with the fitness thing. Yeah, he's going to bring back the presidential fitness thing where he makes kids do sit-ups and push-ups and pull-ups and shit.
I'm just flashing to you know, 1984, because that's one of the things they did. They made everybody do like calisthenics in front of their view screens. You know?
So
I'm just imagining The Rock being like, "Okay, it's 5:30. Everybody, get out of bed.
Way up.
Do your jumping jacks. Goddammit."
That sounds horrible, but it'll probably help with the obesity epidemic.
Probably.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, if everybody is required by law to do jumping jacks at 5:30 in the morning. I mean, that's fascism, but, but you know, it could be good for the waistlines, is all I'm saying.
On the other hand, it could be the one thing that actually inspires a true revolution in this country.
Hey, Colby, what do you need? My son Colby is coming into the room. What's up?
We have our extra special guest, Colby.
What are you looking for?
Do you know where Mom's school bag is?
Mom's school bag?
Yeah.
No, I do not. Is that Mom's school bag?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Take Mom's school bag.
Thanks. You guys drinking a lot?
We're drinking a lot.
Okay,
yeah.
Drink more.
Okay, thanks, buddy. Bye. He's a good kid, always looking out for his dad.
Can I borrow him sometime?
You guys,
I need somebody to remind me. Hey, Dad, I don't think you've had enough to drink tonight.
You're welcome to borrow him whenever you want to.
But no, I think maybe forced exercise for the whole country might be the one thing that starts a true revolution in this country. You know, fascism, no, people don't want to get off the couch.
Right.
But, you know, if you actually start forcing people to eat right and exercise, then there will probably be people in the streets and shit will burn.
That's true. So you think if The Rock runs on a platform of I will make you exercise every morning, then the whole country would vote to make sure they didn't have him as president?
Well, would you vote for that? No, I mean, come on.
I'm not voting for The Rock.
Right?
I'm not voting for The Rock. I don't know, like, my political stance as far as, you know, elected officials are concerned is I'm into people who have experience in whatever their job is, mm-hmm. you know? Regardless, like, I'm not going to hire a roofer, for example, to replace my roof if he has never roofed before.
Right. So I gotta hire a plumber to replace your roof.
Right, exactly. I'm not gonna do that. So that's how I feel about who I
am. So that's sort of like a minimum qualification for you.
Yeah, you have to.
Actual experience you have to what have you're being
been,
hired to do.
Yeah, been in politics and and figured it out. Yeah.
Yeah, that seems pretty fair. So, but, you know, that's an interesting... So if The Rock ran as an independent, you think he would take more from the Republican vote than the Democrat?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Depending on who the Democrat...
I think that at this point, a new party is going to necessarily rise.
Oh, you think?
Well, I don't think that the Republican Party is working anymore. Obviously, it's not. It seems hell-bent on breaking this country. And I think there's enough reasonable people who might still be calling themselves Republicans because whatever's on the left just doesn't represent them.
Right.
But maybe they're not racist, but at this point, after Charlottesville and Republican President Donald Trump's response to it, if you're a Republican, anyone who's not a Republican is thinking you're a racist.
True.
And often they don't say that, but enough do,
right,
that at a certain point in time, enough of these people who are going to go, well, I'm really not a racist, and I don't like people thinking that I'm a racist, mm-hmm. so I'm going to remove myself, as The Rock already has,
right,
from the Republican Party.
But how many of those people do you think there are? Because if you look at, say, Trump's approval ratings among Republicans, a whole lot of Republicans love the guy. So are there really that many Republicans who would break away in sort of, I don't know, what the non-racist Republican Party or the non-Trump Republican Party? I mean, it seems like it wouldn't be a whole lot of them.
Yeah, you're probably right. We're probably just a wildly racist country. We are. We've never made reparations for the things we've done. Unlike Germany. But, I mean, I'd like to think there's some. I mean, that's certainly the narrative I hear when I say Republicans are racist. Because I am going to say that, and I'm going to continue to say that. And if you tell me you're a Republican, I'm going to say, I'm sorry, you're bigoted in some area. If not across the board, you're bigoted. That's it, because your Republican president is that openly. He's openly a bigot, and he's loud about it, and he's aggressive about it, and he's dangerous about it. And if you continue to call yourself a Republican, that means you support that more than reason and peace and...
No, I agree with you there. There are far too many Republicans these days that are, you know, sort of taking the the Paul Ryan position, saying like, oh, I don't agree with that, but I still support the president. And, you know, and that's basically what happened in, you know, pre-Nazi Germany. You know, you had a lot of people saying, oh, well, yeah, Hitler, he's a nutso guy, but I don't like the other party, so I'm going to continue to support my party, you know, and sort of like these fellow travelers and good Germans, and it's just sort of, you know, the people who are sort of not willing to really have the courage of their convictions and repudiate their leader.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, I think the only way to send a strong, certainly to me personally, I mean, if you give a shit about me and what I think of you, the only way to put me at ease about your individual person is to remove yourself from the Republican Party. I'm not asking you to become a Democrat or anything. I'm not asking you to do anything like that. Because if you know, the line I hear from conservative friends of mine is always just, it's about money. It's about, right. I want to hang on to my money. I don't want to give away my money. You know, and I'm like, that's cool. That actually makes sense. I mean, that's reasonable. It's greedy.
Right.
But greed is a thing that we all have because we're human beings. So I totally get that. So if you want to start your greed party, I fully support that. But when your greed is more important to you, is so important to you that you will let racism slide, you will let misogyny slide, you will let homophobia, transphobia, all of it slide, and you will let science slide and backslide, then you are also one of the bigots. You're a Nazi sympathizer, which how is that any better than just Nazi? It's not. Well, it's really not.
No, I agree with you there. I was reading something just recently, and someone pointed out that after World War II and the Nuremberg trials, you know, that's what a lot of these Nazis on trial, that was their defense, saying like, well, I didn't want all these Jews to be gassed. I didn't want to start a war with the whole world, you know, but, you know, it was my party, and I supported my party, and I was just following orders, and those people were convicted, and a lot of them were hanged, because that's not a good enough excuse.
Right.
Or at least it wasn't
following orders.
Right. I was just following, you know, it's like, well, I didn't really believe this, but I supported the people who were doing it. Yeah, so there's not as large a moral distinction as many people like to believe.
Yeah.
I think you and I agree on that.
I think it's, I mean, I think, you know, and I think it's true about everybody on the, I think the difference between these two political sides, this completely divided country where nobody can see eye to eye, the main difference is, and both sides are full of assholes, reactionary assholes who don't help and just make things
worse. Well, the world's full of assholes.
Yeah, the one thing I've realized is that the people on the left of things in this country know that there are tons of liberal assholes. We know we're assholes.
Right.
The other side just thinks we're assholes, and they don't have any assholes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Everybody needs to be more introspective, I think, at this point, on both sides. There needs to be more introspection and more soul-searching and more thinking about yourself and where you're landing in this political landscape.
Right.
But all it ever is finding a group. You know, even on the left, you got your super progressives, and they get, you know, the Bernie people get mad at the Hillary people, and the Hillary people get mad at the Bernie people, and then these feminists get mad at these feminists, and, you know, and they're all valid points, but it's like, have you gotten mad at yourself first?
We all need to get... Are you sure you're saying we all need to be angry at ourselves?
Well, it's our country, mm-hmm. you know, and whether we got railroaded here or there or anywhere is beside the point. We're all complicit in the fact that we have this fucking Nazi running our country. We're all complicit. Because, I mean, the left has really woken up and realized, you know, the white left has really woken up and realized, you know, we have been letting this racism slide. And people still do it, you know, and that's my stance on what I feel about Republicans and Republicanism right now. And this is new. Like, it was building, but the Charlottesville thing, it's done. I'm done. If you continue to be a Republican, then you are supporting this kind of violent bigotry.
Right.
And if you're willing to do that because you don't want to pay taxes, then you are also a violent bigot. Maybe you're not committing the violence, mm-hmm. but you're funding the army that is.
Mm-hmm. Well, that seems quite... logical to me. I mean, it's a slippery slope in the sense that it just gets a little, you know, people just excuse a little bit more and a little bit more, you know, like we're seeing with Trump, you know.
Yeah,
it's just and then you know, pretty soon we may get to the place where we're excusing a lot of really bad shit, and you know, and I'm sure all the people in Nazi Germany, one day they woke up and they said, oh shit, I mean, I think we're actually, you know, gassing people in concentration camps. But by then it's too late.
Right.
It's too late. So I don't know. I'm not sure what the solution is to that.
I'm not either. I mean, the whole reason we have governments and politics to begin with is because we're terrified of each other. Because if we don't have that, then we're all going to start killing each other. I mean, I know anarchists don't want government, but I'm like, I don't think that modern anarchists have really thought things through.
No, I think anarchy sort of by definition is a naive viewpoint. Philosophy,
yeah, and it's very reactionary too. I think it's like, I hate the government; it doesn't represent me at all. Right. I mean, like, so many people didn't vote or voted down ticket. You know, that's what I didn't feel like either candidate was worthy of my vote. You know what I mean? And it's like, what?
Yeah,
you know, and that is being a child. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A grown up. Makes a reasonable decision. I mean, I hate to use the lesser of two evils thing again, but that's what a grown-up does.
Right.
Sometimes the choice you make sucks. It's a shitty couple of options, but you still make a choice. You don't put your nose up in the air and stomp your feet and say, I don't want to. I don't have to.
Well, a grown-up can... You know, grown-ups can sort of think ahead and imagine the consequences of their choices. And
right.
They can say, you know, they see a choice as something with consequences. I think a lot of people who vote, sort of these ideologues, they see a choice as kind of something in itself, you know, the virtue signaling, like I am, you know, it's sort of a statement of identity. Maybe that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
They see it as some sort of something in itself and, you know, they've sort of signaled what they believe and they don't really think about, well, what's that going to lead to down the road? You know, what sort of consequences is my vote going to have?
Right. Well, and I think also it's, you know, what we were saying before about the public school system and the cutting of property taxes in California, because that is you're paying into a future, mm-hmm. a future world that feels intangible, and you'd rather have whatever, a big TV or something. You know what I mean?
Oh, I think there's a direct relationship between...
I love big TVs. I just want to state that for the record. I now have a 75-inch TV, and I love that TV. So I understand it.
Right.
But I...
Your big 75-inch TV on which you watch too much news.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. I try not to watch the news at all on the TV. I was, dipping in too much during the election because I had the cable. But I cut the cord. I don't have cable anymore.
No cable?
I can watch it on Hulu if I want to. But
right.
It's not as easy as just clicking a button and it appears. I have to go looking for it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I don't have cable either. I've almost never had cable. A couple of times I've had it and then I've canceled it because, I mean, cable. And it's not just the politics, for me at least. It's everything.
On cable.
You know? Yeah. Speaking of addiction, it's just like, there's so much.
Yeah,
you know?
And
you sit down and you're like, well, I'll just see what's on. And then 6 hours later, you're like, I'm watching All in the Family reruns.
Really good, to be fair.
It was a quality show.
If you land on that, it's hard to flip away from it because it's still good and it's still horribly relevant, All in the Family.
Sadly.
It's disgusting.
Sadly.
But you watch it and its fashions are dated, you know, but you can just look at it as a period piece if you want to, but all of it is still relevant. All the characters are relevant. All the situations are still relevant. It's amazing.
Amazing in a bad way.
In a very sad way.
In a very, very bad and sad way. The whole thing with the Confederate monument is really amazing me. And it strikes home to me because I am from the South. I mean, I used to live... like a block away from a statue of Robert E. Lee. So it's one of the things, growing up in that environment, it didn't really sort of strike me so much. But in retrospect, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, well, for me, you know, it's like the thing I keep hearing is if someone asks you if you're a racist, the right answer is yes, but I'm working on it.
Well, that's a good answer.
But I grew up, you know, all white town. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was in New England, so we didn't have Confederate statues, so there wasn't anything like that. But it was Massachusetts, very segregated place. My town was super white, so I didn't even realize. Like, if you're growing up down the street from a Robert, it's just where you were born and how you grew up and what the world looks like. And it takes, I mean, if I didn't leave that small town, and I know so many people who didn't leave the small town or at least didn't leave the state, and their thinking is not broadened.
Right.
It is not. They have stuck with their political parties and their churches and all that stuff. I've done it all. I've lost my religion. I've had long conversations with transvestite hookers in Times Square. I've been around. Like, I've worked this out. And I am not a world traveler, but I am a traveler of this country. Because I do love it.
Amazing. It's an amazing country. And I definitely see a huge difference when you meet someone who has basically lived the same place their whole life. You know, they grew up in one town, they never left, and they tend to stay in those ruts. And like you say, they're not as broad a thinker as someone who has gone around and had different experiences. Maybe that's the solution, just as much as education. We should just make people move.
Yes, make them move. They actually, I can't remember where I was reading this. It was somewhere in Europe. It might be England or something where they encourage kids who get out of high school to not go to college right away. You know, it's like a rich, privileged person. And it's like, why don't you just go to college? But they travel the world.
Right.
But now apparently that's really good for you.
I think
before going to college to just travel around and see as much as you can.
Yeah, I think the key thing is just leaving. Whether you go to college somewhere else or whether you just travel somewhere else, it's important to sort of get out of that environment that you've been in all your life. I mean, I remember my next door neighbor, he's in college now, But when he was still in high school, he was trying to decide where to go to college. And one of the, he was thinking about staying close to home, maybe still living with his parents, or you know, or maybe going across the country. And my advice to him, I'm just like, look, don't stay here. Wherever you go, just go somewhere else.
Right.
Because that experience of just going to a totally new place where you don't know anybody and you're forced to make new friends and meet people that are not like any of the people you've ever known in your life, you know, that really is a great experience for somebody to have. And you know, Colby's got a little wild, but I would tell your son, you know, the same thing. I mean, don't let him stay here. You know,
no,
send him somewhere
no.
else
yeah.
just so he can
get
have
out.
That experience.
Yeah.
Get out. And, you know, I'm sure you'll be sick of him by then, but...
Well, I don't, you know, I mean, my parents, they took it back. But, I mean, my dad was like, when you're out of college, I want you to come back and visit.
Right. Right.
As much as you want. But you do not live here anymore.
There you go.
But he did take me in for almost a year after, because I was broke. And I was just like, Dad, I don't know. I have full intention of not staying there.
Right.
I don't want to stay there. But, and it was, and it was a bummer, too, because right before, like, when I graduated college, we went out, like, drink. It was, we had a night where we just went out and got a little drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad and son, but we were like buddies, you know? And it felt really good, but then when I moved back home, he just went right back into dad mode.
Those old patterns are hard to shake.
But
I tell you, I mean, the best thing that ever happened from my relationship with my parents is me moving out of the house. You know, because when I was a teenager, you know, it was the typical teenager and parents butting heads all the time. But sort of moving away allowed me to see them as just regular adults, not my parents
so much,
you know, and then that allowed them to see me as more of an adult, not so much their son. And so we're like, oh, well, okay, we can actually get along now.
Yeah, and that's it's definitely that way with my folks now. I mean, I've been here for 20 years. It's getting hard now being this far away.
Yeah. That's true.
Because people are getting old, and people are getting sick, and people are passing away, and I'm not there. And
that is tough.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't have so much money that I can constantly go back.
Right.
You know, so it's tough not being there sometimes, but I like it out here.
It's pretty nice.
I like California.
It's pretty. Yeah. It spoils you. Because you go back to some place where, you know, they're kind of stuck in the last century and it's all white. I mean, I remember my wife and I went, we visited some friends in Utah several years ago. And, like, you get off the plane at Salt Lake City and it's like, just Whiteville.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just nothing but white, you know. These Aryan white people walking around, like, what the hell? You know, sort of like almost like a horror movie, you know?
It's Mormons with alarm companies. That's what Utah is. It's all Mormons with their alarm companies.
Alarm companies?
Almost all, this is what I learned through having alarm companies and having various problems with it when I lived back over in the San Fernando Valley there.
Uh-huh.
Almost all the big alarm companies, home alarm companies,
right.
You know, ADT, you know, whatever.
Huh.
They're owned by Mormons. They're Mormon-owned businesses.
That I did not know.
And if,
That's
you're calling for tech support or whatever, you're most likely talking to somebody in Utah.
Is it Utah? Well, why do you think that is? Is it a big conspiracy?
No, I'm sure it's just like a thing. You know, the Mormon community is pretty tight-knit, and somebody has an alarm company, and it does well, and then it's like, oh, can you tell me how to do that?
I don't know. I don't know. It's more fun to think of it as sort of a grand conspiracy because, you know, they have your... They own all the alarm companies, so they can, you know, maybe they give all their missionaries kind of a device... So you can just turn off your alarm, and then you wake up in the middle of your night, and there's these two guys with, you know, white shirts and ties on saying, we'd like to talk to you.
about having multiple wives. No, thanks.
Well, that's the only cool part of Mormonism, and they got rid of that.
Well, some of them. Not all of them.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, and it's more insidious than that. I read Under the Banner of Heaven by John Krakauer. I know all about this Mormonism.
I read that, too. That's a good one.
It is. It's one of his drier books, actually. Yeah.
I think he's really fallen off over time.
Yeah, I haven't read Krakauer in a while. Has he published any books, or is he just doing the article thing?
That's a good question. I think he published something after Under the
Banner. Or did he die on a mountain? For all I know.
I think we would have probably heard about that.
I feel like we would.
Yeah, we would have heard about that. He published some expose on the Two Cups of Tea or something Cups of Tea guy. I don't know. There was a guy who wrote a
book. Two Girls in a Cup?
No. So far as I know, John Krakauer doesn't write on subjects like that, but who knows? Maybe he does. Maybe he has a pen name that he, writes erotic fiction. Who knows? That's fun to imagine. But yeah. there was some sort of philanthropist who wrote a best-selling book on building schools in, I think it was, Afghanistan and Pakistan, and John Krakauer basically found out the guy that was a huge fraud and he was stealing all the money, and so he published a book on that guy.
Oh, okay.
It was Three Cups. The actual best-selling book that Krakauer took down was called Two Cups of Tea, something like that. I don't know.
Huh.
But anyway, so...
Well, good for him.
I think he made so much money off of, Into the Wild and Into Thin Air that he can basically just do whatever the fuck he wants now and doesn't have to worry about making money.
God, that would be so awesome.
Wouldn't that be awesome? That would be...
Just to be I don't understand, Al Pacino.
Oh, I saw Al Pacino not that long ago at the Pasadena Playhouse. Yeah, he's still.
Yeah, if I had his money, I would retire. Yeah. Like Hackman did. Hackman retired. Hmm. It's weird that he went out on Welcome to Mooseport. It was a weird way to go out, but that was his last movie, and now he writes crime novels.
Does he?
Yeah.
I had not heard that. That's cool.
He lives, I don't know where he lives, in Arizona or something stupid, and he writes novels.
It's surprising how few people do that. I guess the drive for people like Al Pacino is not so much to make a lot of money so that, once you make more than you'll ever need, they can just stop. It's just, he just likes to perform. He likes the adulation.
Well, he wants to stay relevant.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't. I mean, I'm irrelevant already. I'm good at it. So just give me a bunch of money.
Just give me the bunch of money, and then you can continue being irrelevant.
Yeah, I'm just chill. Go on hikes. Watch some TV.
I like that. Yeah, I know. I did not win the Powerball, unfortunately, or else I would give you some irrelevance money. But unfortunately, I know, $750 billion. So.
Yeah, it was some lady in Massachusetts won.
Yeah, like a single mother.
A mother with two children.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good for her.
And she said, she's gonna. She called her work and said, I'm not coming back. And then she said, now I'm going to go lie down.
I'm going to go lie down? Yeah, well.
She's not going to do shit for a while. I'm not going to do anything.
She can certainly afford that. That would be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice. All right, I'm out of wine. I need to go get some, so we need to wrap this interview.
All right. So we'll wrap it up. We'll go out on that thought instead of the shitty nature of politics today. We'll go out on the thought of being filthy rich and never having to do anything for the rest of our lives.
I like it.
So thank you very much, Todd, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, everyone, all five of you, for tuning into the Tomcast. And we will see you next time.